Imagine a galaxy drowning in endless war, where flesh is cheap, terror is normal, and the Emperor's justice is swift and literal. Enter the Penal Legions, the Astra Militarum's ultimate recycling program for criminals, deserters, and failed soldiers. These are not crack regiments. They are the Imperium's legally sanctioned suicide squads. Dream of redemption or embrace your inevitable demise. Such is the choice given to the galaxy's worst scum when they don the collar and the worn camouflage of the guardsman uniform. What exactly is a penal legion? Think of it as the Emperor's answer to an overflowing jail cell. Thousands of men and women otherwise slated for execution or the mines are given one final chance to prove themselves by spilling blood on behalf of the Imperium. They might come from Hive World prisons, Arbite's custody, or even disgraced Imperial Guard units. The common denominator? A lifetime sentence cut violently short by a laser gun or bayonet. In High Gothic, they call these formations legiones penitentes, but in practice, they're simply the Emperor's expendable shock troops. In practice, this means an unknown number of dead or alive troopers are crammed into battlefields across the galaxy. The Imperium's doctrine regarding criminals isn't just brutal, it's sheer pragmatism. Unable or unwilling to keep every miscreant locked up, especially when duty calls, commanders demand bodies. Every convict, traitor, or deserter is a potential guardsman, if he's still breathing after the barrage. Consider it grim recycling. The galaxy's refuse repurposed as cheap manpower. After all, in the Imperium's calculus, a bullet in a prisoner's chest costs the same as a bullet in a soldier's. The only difference is one of them volunteered. Recruitment for a penal legion is usually an offer you can't refuse, death or service. The Adeptus Arbites and local magistrates tighten the screws of justice on infractions ranging from petty theft to outright treason. Even minor heresy can send a guardsman and his weapon into penal duty. Many crimes, cowardice in the face of the enemy, insubordination, minor heresy, automatically qualify a guardsman for the penal forces. Essentially, any offense that doesn't warrant immediate execution might earn you a one-way trip to the Penal Legion. If you have a pulse and a desire to live, they may as well use you first. If not, rest in peace is written on your sentence. A grizzled sergeant once shrugged to a trembling recruit, "Think of it as the Emperor's free clinics. Either get fixed up or shut down, soldier." Daily life in a penal legion is short, brutal, and unforgiving. New recruits are stripped of civilian gear and tossed into standard-issue uniforms. Threadbare tunics and flak armor long past its warranty, left over from earlier Crusade eras. Heads are shaved or cropped close. Half the troopers wouldn't know a haircut if it fell from a chimera. Each man is inked with crude tattoos marking his batch or number, a scarlet letter for surviving that induction sentence. Everything they own fits on their person, so very little in truth. A second-hand laser gun, if they're lucky, and a rusted bayonet. The only extra for a penal trooper are the scars and a metal collar around his neck. Now, about those collars. Every new penal legionnaire is fitted with an explosive shock collar. Think of them as very inefficient grenades you wear around your neck. The purpose is singular. Compliance. Stray outside the orders by an inch, hesitate at the sight of the enemy, or tick off a commissar, and the collar goes bang, killing only the wearer. The rest of the squad watches their buddy's neck jump and learns, very quickly, that hesitation means certain death. These collars are controlled by the tech priests. They're not simple fail-safe detonators triggered by shouts, but wire linked to the officer's console or a bound psyker's will. In the trenches, the knowledge of that ticking collar is more effective than any bayonet. It ensures that if you refuse to advance or try to flee, you, or at least your guts, will be the ones who pray to the Emperor. To sweeten the deal, Kong convicts often have combat drugs injected automatically. Many troopers have auto-injectors hidden under the skin, loaded with substances like Frenzol, stimulant bombs, or potency. The Adeptus Mechanicus insists this keeps their aim steady and wills up courage. In reality, it turns a petrified crook into a cackling berserker, eager to rush the enemy, cover his ears at point-blank range, and never feel fear at all. If that's not enough motivation, the weapons load they carry tends to be whatever the regular infantry left behind. Beaten Lay's guns, broken las pistols, a few flak vests plucked from a scrap heap, maybe a pistol magazine or two. At best, they'll get a handful of grenades. If a penal trooper wants a chainsword, he'll have to pry it from a corpse or risk a few bullet holes among comrades. Their gear is a hodgepodge, nothing fancy unless they loot it. And that's only if they've got fingers and wit left to scavenge in the mud. This is not a path to glory. There's no scenic training camp for penal troopers. Their only drill field is often an alien landscape under bombardment. New boys might hop off a landing craft and straight into a strafing run. Orders may be as simple as, advance until you die. Usually, that's it. They don't learn about squares or formations. They practice blind obedience. If the platoon is told to storm a bunker, they do so, burying their fears along with the enemy's bodies. Their doctrine is raw and simple. We don't expect you to come back. Just kill as many as you can before you die. The troopers, many of whom have nothing to lose or gain, beyond perhaps a future pardon, often take it to heart. Within the grand structure of the Imperial Guard, penal legions are an uneasy appendage. They don't have capricious generals lionizing them or proud regimental bands. Instead, they are attached to frontline units to augment numbers. A Cadian battalion might see two platoons of penal recruits sent in first, essentially counted as part of munitorum quotas. On besieged worlds, local PDF commanders might scrape together convicts as a last-ditch fire brigade. However, the hierarchy remains crystal clear. The penal men are at the bottom. Officers and commissars give them orders with thinly veiled contempt. They are boots on the ground, expected to remain ground boots until the day they die. The day-to-day chain of command in a penal unit often reads like a roster of nightmares. Maybe a commissar colonel at the top, a fanatic whose notion of discipline could terrify even a Chaos Marine. For instance, the Black Scar Penal Legion was led by Major Stugan Deathwalker, a man who achieved his rank by literally killing his own family and not noticing or caring. Under such commanders, expectations are simple: advance or accept death. Some penal regiments have commissar colonels who practically wear the Emperor's vengeance as a badge of honor. A few have colonels who once graced Adeptus Arbites halls. Now they patrol the firing line, eyes cold as though every skull they crack is a sermon. In any case, under these officers, a penal legion fights with grim resolve, usually the only damned resolve they need. Glorified gun fodder. Absolutely. The mission's penal squads get assigned are invariably either suicidal or insanely secret. If there's an ambush ahead, it's probably set up by penal boys stumbling into it. If an enemy line looks too tough, a penal battalion is likely the first wave. Fortification? Bring in the penal legion to climb the walls first. The doctrine could be summed up with one sentence. If you break, 10 more will finish the job. They are ideal for highest risk tasks. The rest of the army might hold at range, but the penal guys will charge machine gun nests with bayonets. They make for excellent vanguards, decoys, or walking bombs. When the regular infantry needs a breather or casualty count must rise, these soldiers are shoved into the spotlight. Go, the lieutenant yells, and the units of empty stares and grimaces are unleashed toward death. They know this is the plan, to mow down enemies like wheat in a barn, sacrificing themselves so others might live. Punishment is swift. In a normal regiment, getting shot might count you as honorable dead. In the penal forces, it's routine. Troopers caught lagging or losing focus can be executed on the spot by their own officers, to restore discipline, of course. Some field units practice a brutal mock decimation. If a platoon fails to achieve its objective or shows cowardice, every 10th or even 20th man might be executed by his comrades as an example. Commissars patrol like grim reapers, searching for eyes that linger on the sky or hands that tremble. If you flinch, they'll finish the job themselves. They might stick you in the back with a bayonet or hammer a laser gun into your skull. The message is drum-beating clear. Obey without question or die a meaningless death. Despite this nightmare, some troopers adapt in their own brutal way. There is a perverse camaraderie among them. Once the initial terror subsides, a warped friendship can form. After all, misery loves company. They shout each other's nicknames. Cannonball, Rat, Mother, Sergeant Buttkiller, because their real names are somewhere back on a transport manifest, in a cell block or execution file. If one of them makes a sacrifice, the others might murmur a rough salute. After all, when a grenade goes off at their feet and they still breathe, they share something strange and eternal. The galaxy might see them as worthless, but among themselves, surviving means something. A veteran might pat a terrified kid on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you made it past wave two, friend. Welcome aboard." In their eyes, if you live through one fight, you're no longer a waste, just stubborn. Maybe that's the only pride they'll ever know, to outlive what was expected. A few units become, against all odds, almost proficient in their madness. Take the Savlar Chem Dogs. A penal legion from the toxic hive world of Savlar. Many of its troopers were hardened criminals used to gutter warfare and poison. When they were thrown into the Armageddon underhives, they excelled. They strapped chemical tanks to mutated beasts and inhaled knockout gas just to sprint madly at Xenos. They fought crawling blind but laughing in rage. It said they exhale poison like most breathe air. Home turf advantage. Another famous example was the 13th Penal Legion, nicknamed the Last Chancers. They were recruited for special operations, unthinkable for normal guardsmen. Assassinations of cult lords, infiltration of chaos shrines. They stormed minefields and jumped into warp tunnels with nothing but desperate hope. Somehow, a few of them pulled off wonders, like single-handedly killing a tech priest to shut down a warp portal. Afterward, official records simply credited elite squads for the job. The bloody truth? These damned scum did it because no one else would. Conversely, the regular Imperial Guard treats penal troopers with a mix of contempt and cautious respect. Guardsmen in pristine uniforms don't mingle with the ragged outcasts unless absolutely necessary. To regular troopers, penal legionnaires are a necessary nuisance, crash test bodies for the enemy, and insurance policies for the line. You might hear a sardonic whisper. They're worth more dead manged in front lines than any four guardsmen behind them. Commissars and officers mostly see them as an expendable resource. One hard-bitten major once told a corporal that fussing over a downed convict was a waste of time. "Let him earn his emperor's peace," he sneered. It's not that guardsmen hate them, it's more that they envy the convicts their simplicity. A criminal marching orders are straightforward: run, shoot, die when told. Meanwhile, the rest of the army deals with supply lines, strategy, and the Emperor's scrutiny. In that sense, some guardsmen almost pity them. Soldiers who died for a damned cause they neither chose nor understood, beyond remembering a job was a job. Then there's how their missions end. Most of them end badly. When a fight is over and the dust settles, the Penal Legionnaire's survivors look like walking cadavers. Piles of bodies litter the field by the score. The lucky ones, if you call it luck, are carried off by medics, if any medics still have the time. Most corpses are left to the crows or the local scavengers. The few men who do walk away count their victory by being alive, not by taking ground. Two surviving troopers is cause for a toast. If five make it, perhaps the first ration is on the major. Officers tally the living like numbers, not names. The command might report, squad received back, all present and correct. And the names of the dead will fade from the roster as quietly as they lived. In some bizarre way, a penal legionnaire's reward for doing his duty might be getting to keep his boots next time. In any case, the Empire's reporting simply notes, target held. The penal troopers themselves know that the real accomplishment was merely surviving when none expected them to. In Imperial bureaucracy, the Penal Legion is just another line item. Departamento Munitorum clerks record casualties, but rarely names. Official battle reports might read like, 10th Armored, with support from three penal companies, objective secured. No ceremony is recorded for the convicts who fell. There are no parades for their dead, no medals, no public vindication. A cynic might mutter at bureaucrats, who cares about the trash? We got the result. Indeed, if these men ever find a place in history books, it's as an anonymous single sentence or footnote, Penal Battalion X engaged enemy, heavy losses. The grim reality is that the Penal Legion's sacrifices are buried under euphemisms and numbers. They died so others could live, and the Empire forgot them almost immediately. Occasionally, a stray name or legend slips through. Lieutenant Karge of the 13th Penal, who once blew up a hellish plasma reactor beneath a city, is whispered about as a martyr in hidden Inquisition memos. Officially, he's killed in action. The Lost Hopers from the planet Lost Hope even have a macabre legacy. A penal squad that stormed a renegade titan by strapping themselves with bombs, toppling the enemy war machine. Official Imperial archives merely credit infantry for that miracle. No gravestone reads, "Here lie criminals who saved the day." These stories spread in dank underhives and offhand conversations, passed along with a nod of respect. But note well, if you meet a lore master, they'll say no heroic deed came from sheer desperation, only from strategy. In the vast catalog of Imperial war, penal legions are often lost paragraphs or never written at all. Their true exploits are remembered mainly by themselves, in tattoos, in scars, in the scars of their last stares. Official annals note only that they died or disappeared. The 5493rd Eternally Grateful Penal Legion is such a tale. Attached to a Cadian army in the Argovan campaign, it vanished in the Bractus Desert, presumably slaughtered by Necrons. The joke is in the name, said the clerks. They were grateful to die. The Imperium logged it as KIA-MIA and moved on. Their skulls probably lie under sand now, worth as much as any spare bolt shell. This is how they are honored, if that is indeed honor. So what does a penal legion trooper actually do day to day? When not marching to death, life is grim drudgery. They drill under watchful commissars or ADMEC overseers, but training is mostly silence and reflex. Feeding is occasional. If the company kitchen is functioning, they get recycled gruel. If not, they might subsist on foraged fungus or what rats leave behind. Hygiene is laughable at best. Water is saved for more important uses, like engines or burning the dead. They sleep collapsed anywhere, on dropping transports, cold trenches, or in foxholes with corpses for pillows. There are no family visits, no letters home, for even a letter would be traced back to a prison. Their connection to the Imperium is one of duty and doom, not comfort. Even equipment is scavenged. Standard issue for them is usually whatever the main troops didn't want to carry. Beat-up autoguns, flak jackets missing plates, ammo belts with holes. If something better is needed, they scrounge it from the battlefield. A trooper might trade a hat for a bayonet found on a corpse. A squad could wrestle a heavy stubber from an unconscious ally, or divvy up 3 grenades among 10 men. Once, in the chaos of a battle, a penal platoon found a handful of crack grenades, and all they had to offer in exchange was an empty stomach. A petty bartering system arises, service for service, but mostly their gear is scrap. They might have a single missile round if the unit was especially unkind, but even that has to be used wisely. Better to conserve explosives for a sure kill. And yet, some within penal ranks do extraordinary things. Every unit seems to have one legend. A hulking convict might take multiple hits and come back asking for more. One such man always gets thrown into the fire. "You get the plasma gun, Ivan," an officer might bark. "Make it pretty." Another might stuff into a transport and joke, "If these walls could talk, they'd scream." These veterans inspire a fierce mix of respect and dread. Other troopers know. If Mark takes the flamethrower, best you're not in front of it when it fires. These scarred, cynical men have learned that when the ship's going down, they're likely at the prow. And in that truth, oddly, they find something like pride. Surviving more gunshots than any sane man should is an odd brag, a twisted brotherhood sign. Training, such as it is, comes on the job. There are no grand tutorials on tactics or inspiring rhetoric. The drill sergeant is the enemy's fire. The whispered orders of commissars are their creed. Troops learn formation only by necessity, tight-roping trenches crawling over each other to avoid mortars. The unofficial syllabus is short: advance, fire, kill, die. They memorize one basic credo. When the commander runs, sometimes a camouflage of panic, you either run faster or take his bullet so he can. It's a stark education. A cadet asked an old penal vet about ranks and commendations. He merely heard back, "Ranks, we just wear scars." Rations and rest are luxury for others. For penal soldiers, every meal is earned through pain. If a mission is won, they might scrounge whatever uncleared corpses left behind. If it goes badly, they subsist on slop. Latrines are holes in the ground, and showers are rain from the burning sky. At best, they steal water canisters from allies if nobody's looking. Complaining about the food once cost a man a finger. Taken with a grin by a visiting officer eager to enforce discipline. The coping mechanisms vary. Some squat and hope the porridge has no bugs, others pray no one notices their empty plate. Camaraderie in these units is as perverse as their orders. Troopers have no real names, only numbers or blasphemous nicknames. Chainsaw, rat catcher, Miss Teaser. They will help each other over a trench, but no one will hold a wounded man under fire if it risks them. They are brothers only in suffering. If one yells an order wrong or the sun is too bright, another simply pushes him aside. Among them, loyalty is measured not in friendship, but in shared misery. On quieter nights, you might hear hushed curses, drunken dares, or silence. Some pray with twisted fervor, others smoke the last rations in defiance. Mostly, if there's humor, it's gallows humor. A trooper might toast, "Here's to the Emperor." At least his bullets keep us warm. Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes it's the only way to breathe. Discipline among the penal troops is mostly induced by fear and the occasional mirage of redemption. Some convicts embrace the brutality. "Better to die for the Emperor than rot in a cell," one often grunts. Many are already half-believers in their own damnation. For them, each drop of enemy blood spilled becomes a sort of atonement, as if they think the universe will balance itself out. Others seethe quietly, protesting through clenched teeth. Some even refuse to pray, saying they only got enough faith to see the end of this fight. The truth is, with a laser gun pointing at your brain, religion and morale have a habit of aligning one way. Obey and kill, or die by someone else's rules. Units by name? Rarely do they march under great banners. There are a few odd exceptions. Savlar 22nd Chem Dogs, the black leather addicts of Armageddon, strike fear because their monstrous beast collars gas up local fauna into spitting monstrosities. The 13th Penal Legion, the Last Chancers, earned infamy for black ops, assassinating traitors, stealing plans, even setting abandoned Psyker temples ablaze. The Black Scar Penal Legion, named for its fanatical leader, is remembered for being the only unit that never surrendered a foot of ground, simply because they had nothing left to give but contempt. And then there's the 493rd, eternally grateful to be dead, a footnote in the sand of Argovon. Each name suggests horrors untold, but sadly no hymn gets sung for them. They die as ghosts die, unseen and unmissed. By the end of a campaign, a penal squad might feel like they're on to a cosmic joke. They volunteered for redemption and got conscripted into a census of ghosts. One wounded corporal once quipped that these troopers were bankrolled by the Emperor himself. Only Uncle Ed isn't charging interest on our lives. Their only act of defiance is sometimes a weary grin, waiting for fate to finish laughing. Yet a surprising number carry on coolly. They've decided that if death is the goal, they might as well dictate the path. If a battlefield is a stage, then they play the executioner's marionette with bloody relish. Some inner circle brag. Penal troopers are actually blessed. What other soldiers get letters from church in the field? Priests call it penance through blood, dignified and loud. The Mechanicus says it's stress relief on autopilot, and if an imperial dignitary happens upon them, he might proclaim them the Emperor's closet usurpers, fighting on without ever claiming credit. None of it changes much, though, except maybe one extra fancy prayer tattooed on their arms. If there's any lesson in all this, it's writ large in the empty spaces of the record books. Heroes are written in gold, penal troopers in numbers. We might salute the ones who saved worlds, but who salutes those who stormed them to dust? When all is said and done, these men got the last laugh in the cruelest way. Their redemption was to die on their feet. Still, if by some stroke of blind luck someone remembers them, let it be a quiet nod. For in the grim darkness, even scum can die honorably, if only the galaxy hears their silent salute in time. When the dust finally settles on a battlefield, the penal legionnaires leave behind a peculiar silence. There are no victory cheers for them, only the murmur of crack firing overhead, and maybe the distant chant of a ministerium priest at prayer. They remind us that in this universe, forgiveness is often earned with more than just remorse. Even the Emperor's empathy runs out on the front lines. His mercy for these men comes in the form of a last bolt, swift and absolute. Each punishing sunrise they see that doesn't kill them is just another debt paid, as cold and final as bullet wounds. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. If so, the image of a penal legion marching into battle tells everything. Shoulders squared but eyes dimmed, rifles held as lifelines, and bombs strapped around every neck. One could show that once to the Council on Terra and have them weep, only they won't, because out of sight is out of mind. Instead, this is depicted in the most vivid palette the Imperium knows, the orange of flames, the crimson drip of blood, the charcoal earth of funerals. Each sacrifice is a brushstroke in the Emperor's endless war mural, darker than any tapestry hung in a cathedral. In the final ledger of the Imperium, penal legionnaires are columns and footnotes. They might be numbered in the billions, but in the minds of the few who ponder them, they are one, the ultimate sacrifice for the ultimate cause. If any spark of irony remains, it's this. The Emperor does not offer them a holiday in a golden city or a shining testimonial. He offers the one thing all criminals had in common already, the hope that, by the time they expire, their sins are forgiven in the blood of the enemy. And so our grim little journey ends where it began, in darkness and sacrifice. Penal legions march on in forgotten columns, across worlds unknown and battles unremembered. They ask only that we not turn our backs on their story too soon, because in those black uniforms and broken boots is a truth the Imperium doesn't like to speak aloud. If their voices were a cannonade, the Imperium would still clip them short with a wire. But to those who honor sacrifice, their story is written in the language of war, not with gold or honor, but with the red punctuation of flak fire. After all this, one fact remains clear. The penal legions may not wave flags or sing hymns in their honor, but their place in the Emperor's grand design is etched in cold stone. By accepting their sentences as service, they helped hold at bay the worst of mankind's foes. The Imperium owes them absolutely nothing, and yet, in the twisted calculus of war, they earned an odd reward. Meaning, if fate is kind, maybe one day a lone name or story among them will live beyond a footnote. So here we stand, at the end of our grim narrative. The penal legions are the Emperor's reusable human torpedoes, fired into the darkness with one aim, to detonate any hint of resistance. There are no cheers when they die, only the cold calculus that another quota is met. If they are remembered, it's as faceless heroes in a faceless war, or a footnote in yet another regimental history. In the 41st millennium, blood is cheap, and life even cheaper. The Penal Legion reminds us that in the Emperor's war, the only thing more abundant than bullets is the willingness to use them, especially on those who've already burned their bridges. And so, dear listener, remember this cautionary tale the next time you hear of a penal legion on the march. It's a chapter in the larger saga of the 41st millennium that seldom gets spoken aloud. But it matters. Behind those eye patches, collars, and crossed-out files as were once sinners, and maybe even believers who were bound to their fate. In the grim darkness, their final words might well be a quiet message. At least let our story be true. When the dust settles and all the guns go silent, the penal trooper's legacy is written in blood and silence. The guns cease, the echoes fade, and only the scorched earth remembers his last steps. Even if the galaxy never cheers their names, somewhere in the warp, the Emperor may still be cataloging each life. Every last bullet-fired breath, every battered body, he counts them quietly, one by one. Everyone used, everyone known. For the Imperium, these were just another means to an end. For a penal soldier, it was the only existence he ever knew. Our grim offer accepted, our final tally made.